This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a three-time champion, check out my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Tyler and Sean are got to be at the top.
Fig's pretty good.
Yeah, Fig's pretty good. But
yeah, you know you wanted to talk about Figgy, Ron. Come on.
Let me read. Shuffle this. Now, yeah, Tyler's gonna get one. But yeah, they get to. I mean, we saw Marcus Freeman. I was like, oh man, you better get your. Oh, already got him. I mean, they knocked him out. I think he had Dak with him in New Orleans. Multiple photos that he got with folks. But we'll talk to him coming up. It's a big day for Cam Smith. A lot of people are getting crazy about his performance and a two home run day, opposite field shots. We'll talk to him in a bit. But to start our show today, it was unintentional, but I don't want to put words in your mouth, Clint, so I'll let you describe it. But when it came to C.J. Stroud, we were walking in, and the fellas from In the Loop and our crosstalk were playing audio of them talking about C.J. and the offensive line having to improve and them showing the offensive line, D'Amico Express showing the offensive line footage of what it looks like when he has a clean pocket to see how great a quarterback he could be. And that sent you into using the word coddle.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll let you explain it yourself what you meant.
Yeah, no, I think it's very self-explanatory. I think we look at it's particularly the adverse times. And CJ Stroud has been I think coddled's probably a fair word. I think when things got rough last year and there was some adversity, the general manager, the head coach, the offensive coordinator, it was like everybody needed to reassure, hell, to the point where Will Anderson was even doing it when we spoke to him in the postgame of where we got to build C.J. Stroud up. We got to stroke C.J. Stroud. Like, I think there's a certain level of being coddled. I think even the last conversation we had about Nick Caley and Gerard Johnson and all everything that's you know, head over heels, everybody moving mountains to make sure that C.J. Stroud is comfortable. And I understand we live in a day and age where when you're dealing with young athletes, that's more the route that people take with these young athletes. I get it. I just don't agree with it. I just don't like it. I don't. At some point, you got to turn the corner. And I totally understand with C.J. Stroud, with a young quarterback in the league, you got to handle them with kid gloves a lot of the times. You got to make sure they are who you think they are. You got to let them go through adversity. And when they go through adversity, if they don't handle it the way that you think they should handle it, then maybe you do got to do some stroking on their egos. You got to make sure they know that you're still behind them. And when it's all said and done, I think there's been a lot of that with C.J. Stroud, particularly this season. I think the first year went relatively smooth. I think everybody was happy. Everybody, overachieved. Everybody was happy with the how much winning they did in their play. The second year, things got difficult. And I think there was some coddling of the quarterback.
Do you feel like it's more than what you're seeing from other guys?
I don't know. I don't cover other teams as close. I don't know. I don't know, you know.
Let me try this. Did you ever feel like it was this way with Deshaun?
No, I don't remember I don't remember Bill O'Brien ever being.
They're two different personalities.
Like overstroking the quarterback. I mean, I think it was. I mean, there was times. Look, I came to the conclusion mid-season with C.J. Stroud where I believe he's a fragile quarterback. I believe he's a fragile leader, and that was based off of two things. One, how much of a beating he was taking on Sunday, and then two, the fact that the organization felt like they needed to publicly stand behind their quarterback when, hey man, look, you're a 10-win football team, man. Your quarterback's getting hit. There's a little bit of adversity. It's not like you're threatening to bench the guy. So yeah, I just think that the next step for this football team is heavily dependent on C.J. Stroud taking the next step. And I think C.J. Stroud is absolutely elite passing the football. I think C.J. Stroud is an absolute elite processor of the game of football. I think he's above average with his legs in a sense of keeping plays alive and even making plays and moving the chains with his legs and his athletic ability. I think the one place where this football team overall can take the biggest stride in a positive direction is C.J. Stroud taking a huge stride in the direction of taking the bull by the horns, taking the next step where this organization doesn't feel the need in adverse times to stroke the quarterback and make sure he's okay and make sure he's in the right frame of mind. Yeah, I think it's time for that next step to happen with C.J. Stroud.
Yeah. And as I see people filing in here on the text line, why is Clint calling CJ weak? I don't get the sense.
Why are you weak? Why you're a weak individual if you just listen to all that and you think I just said he's elite at everything. There's one place where he needs to be better and needs to develop and needs to take the next step. It's unbelievable how weak people are.
Soft.
And how sensitive people are. It's just the reality. If you watch the Houston Texans and you watch C.J. Stroud and you pay attention enough to where you realize in adverse times he was a fragile quarterback, which all young quarterbacks go through it, you know, but he was a fragile quarterback that needed the organization to stroke him a bit.
Oh no.
Right? If you watch the Kansas City Chiefs game when Tank Dell blew his knee up and you didn't think, my quarterback's crying, like needing to be consoled to a point where we gave up a couple of series. Really, we lost our poise and we gave up a couple of series there in a very, very, very important game.
We don't like
the Kansas City Chiefs. Like if you don't watch that and go, man, That dude's got to be the rock. Like he's got to be the one steadying everybody else and saying, "Hey man, let's pull this thing together, man. Let's get our mind in the right spot. We'll be by Tank's side as soon as this game's over. But let's get this thing right." Like if you watch the Houston Texans and somebody's saying, "Like, hey man, he needs to be the rock in that situation," and if you watch the Houston Texans and you don't feel like the organization felt the need to show outwardly, publicly show support to their quarterback when a little bit of adversity hit in the middle of the year, like I don't know what you're watching. I mean, I don't know what world you're living in.
No, and I think we've seen kind of this, and I do think a little bit of is how D'Amico, his personality is and how he handles things. But I do think this is, to me, a the way that they want to handle it, right? I think this is the way they want to approach CJ.
I think you hit the nail on the head earlier, Ron. I think right now it's the best. And I agree wholeheartedly.
To get the best out of CJ, they feel like this is, it's more uplifting.
I think they're probably right with those actions. I think it's probably, it's been the right approach to this point, right? But at some point, right, the coin has to flip. And at some point, the organization needs to not worry about, it's like the least of your worries in adverse situation needs to be the quarterback you're fixing to pay $60 million a year. You know what I mean? Like that's where we need to get. If that hurts people's feelings out there, I'm sorry. Like that's just the reality. That's the growth of young quarterbacks. Like right now in Carolina, they're probably worried about Bryce Young's, you know, mental state and his confidence and all that kind of stuff. Not so much now as they were, you know, midway through the season. But they're probably, because he got benched and because he struggled early on and he hadn't had just just, I mean, the perfect road so far, as they're probably a little worried about. At some point, they got to turn the page, you hope, and a Bryce Young is like, hey, man, this dude's a rock. This dude is the leader of all the alphas in the locker room. This is the dude. It's normal maturity, development, next step, whatever you want to call it. And that's to me where this team can make the most improvement. And that's where CJ Stroud needs to make the most improvement.
Yeah.